You don't have to entertain your young people. You can give them more than a Noah Ark coloring sheet in Sunday school. You can teach them some doctrine. Amen. If you'll be excited about it, they will too. Thank you, young people. Thank you, Brother Ellis, Sister Ellis. God bless your family. Brother Zorn, love you, buddy. You're among friends, and we're glad you're here. Make yourself right at home.
Love you, preacher. Appreciate you, man. Amen. All right, let's take our Bibles, and we're going to go back to the book of Leviticus tonight. That'd be all right with y'all, but we'll back up a few chapters to chapter number 19. I believe it's where the Lord's directed our heart tonight. Leviticus and chapter number 19. While you're finding your place there, let me say what a joy it is to be here these two nights. We've been just made to feel real welcome. I want to apologize that I'm not sure who it was that made that great big old basket for me and my wife. Do you know the church that made the basket? Little Ivy Baptist Church. And if you're here tonight, any of y'all, thank you so, so very much. We appreciate that. Preacher, thank you for the good room that we stayed in. I don't know if Brother Barton, thank you so much for letting us. You know, the Bible said over there, Paul said, I robbed churches. I felt like that's what I did over at Brother Barton's today. He let us go over there and go through that place where all the meat is and all that. I walked out of there. I told my wife, I said, I feel like I robbed them. Praise God. I feel like Paul robbing the church. But all the kindness we've been shown while we're here, I really appreciate it. It's a joy to get to have my wife come with me. She doesn't often get to travel with me, and she doesn't like to spend that much time around me. And if you're around me much, you could probably understand why. But I appreciate her coming and being a part of the meeting. And sure do love Brother Raines and his family, and thank the Lord for this place and just getting to be a part of it. It's been a blessing. Leviticus chapter number 19, I'd like to read two verses in your hearing, but keep your Bibles open because we'll refer back not only to the text but some other portions of Scripture, and maybe by way of introduction, try and give you some context and some setting before we walk off neck deep into the message tonight. Leviticus chapter 19, we'll begin reading in verse number 9 this evening. The Bible said, and when ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and stranger. I am the Lord your God. I'd like to preach for a few minutes out of these two verses where the Bible said the Lord gives commandment through Moses and makes this command that when you reap the harvest of your land, don't reap all the corners of your field. And for a few minutes tonight, I'd like to preach on this subject, giving God all four corners of your life. Giving God all four corners, maybe you could say, of your field tonight. Now, I realize when we read a passage like this that may be very obscure to you. Some of you may be very familiar with it. I actually had a man a little while back. I've only preached this once or twice to our church, maybe another place. And I had a man come up to me after I'd preached. And he said, preacher, do you know I had an old pawpaw? He said, I used to farm with him. He said, he's dead and gone to heaven now. He said, but me and my papa used to farm this field. He said, and I never understood it until tonight when you preached. He said, but my papa would always tell us when we would farm that field and it would come reaping time, Brother Keeter. Good to see you tonight, by the way, you and your son. Praise the Lord. But he would always say this. He'd say, now, son, leave them corners alone. Don't mess with them corners. And he said, I never understood why until when we read that tonight, and you preached it in the message, and somebody years and years and years later, and you may think that's crazy, and you may think that's odd, but I thank God there's still some folk that believe the Bible's true tonight. We're going to find out as we go farther in the message, it makes a whole lot of difference in your life, and it's going to make a lot of difference in somebody else's life if just one person will grab a hold of the truths of the Word of God and say, I believe that. And it doesn't make any difference if it doesn't make sense to me or make sense to anybody else. God said it, And that settles it. And I believe it tonight. And I'm going to put it into practice in my daily life. Now I realize we read passages like this and people automatically start saying, well, this is Old Testament. It has no application for us. But for some reason, they forget things like what Paul said in the New Testament where he said all Scripture. I believe this is Scripture tonight, right? And Paul's talking about the Old Testament, not just the New, but the Old as well. And he says, Preacher Raines, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And for you and I, New Testament blood-washed Christians in the church age of grace and going to the New Jerusalem tonight, it is profitable for doctrine, for what we believe, for reproof, for correction, and Lord willing, I'll try and do this some tonight with our text, but Paul said these Old Testament scriptures are for instruction in righteousness, that it would perfect us, that we may be whole and thoroughly furnished unto every good work that God would call us to tonight. Some people may look at this, even chapter 19 of Leviticus, and say, this has absolutely no bearing on our life, no reason for you to even be here preaching to us, but I don't know about that. Could you just look at some verses here just so we can establish that we're on good footing, that we can take picture, type, and shadow and apply it to our life in the New Testament. Watch what the Lord said to Moses in verse number 2. Verse number 2 of chapter 19. Speak unto all the congregation of Israel and say unto them, what? Well, this seems like a foreign concept and even a legalistic concept in the day which we live today. Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You say, but that's Old Testament. Well, I don't know. I read over there in 1 Peter chapter number 1, verses 15 and 16, that he which calleth you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. For it is written, this is what Peter said. I'm quoting New Testament way over yonder in the church age. Peter says this, it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. He wrote that to Gentile Christians in the church age of grace. We'll skip down to verse number 3. He said in verse 3, ye shall fear every man his mother and his father. You say, this is Old Testament stuff. I don't know. I read Ephesians chapter 6 where it said, honor thy father and thy mother. This is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. Y'all with me tonight? Verse number 4, look and check out verse number 4. Turn ye not unto idols. I read where John said in the last verse of his first epistle, 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, he said, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Where you recognize getting all that stuff from and applying it to New Testament church age Christians? I recognize getting it from a book that nobody likes to read and everybody throws off in the trash can as being useless for us, which is maybe Leviticus. Verse number 5, watch verse number 5. If ye offer a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord, ye shall offer it at your own will. You say, but preacher, Jesus Christ is our sacrifice. We don't have to bring sacrifices anymore. I agree with that. But Paul did say in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And Paul also said in Hebrews chapter 13, he said that we're to offer the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, and the calves of our lips tonight. Sounds to me like we're on real good footing tonight. Skip down to verse 11. Skip down to verse 11. Watch what it said in verse 11. Ye shall not steal. I read where Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, let him that stole steal no more. Right? He says in the last part of that verse, verse 11, neither deal falsely, neither lie one to another. Paul also said in Ephesians chapter 4, let every man speak truth one with another and with his neighbor. Let every man put away lying from himself. I reckon that's New Testament. Verse number 15, verse 15, he said, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. I read where Paul told the New Testament church in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 that you're supposed to judge things in the church. Are you unworthy to judge? judge the least of matters. I know we live in this mamby-pamby, weak-kneed day that as soon as you start telling people what the Bible says and not having gray areas, but actually some black and white discernment on things, immediately people say, well, you ought not to judge. You ought not to judge. And they'll quote Matthew 7:1, but that's as far as they go. They don't know the context. They don't know what comes after. And they, short of goodness, have never read 1 Corinthians 5:6, which are the definitive chapters on judging in the New Testament, by the way. The definitive chapters on judging is not Matthew 7:1, 2, and 3. It's 1 Corinthians 5:6 tonight, where it said, don't you know one day you're going to judge angels? And if you're going to judge angels, can't you look at something that is of a sinful nature and make a judgment call and say that's wrong, that's ungodly, that's impure, I'm not going that way? I mean, have we come to a day where we can't even do that anymore? The answer is yes, we have. Verse number 16, I'm just trying to just establish some stuff and maybe help you before we get into the message tonight. Look at verse 16. Verse 16, boy, wouldn't this be good for Independent Baptists tonight? Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people. You say, where do you find that in the New Testament? Well, Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 3:11, Paul said, there are some among you that they don't work at all, but they're busybodies. Idle and running house from house and telling things which they ought not. You know what keep you, sister, from telling things you ought not to tell? Quit being idle. Get something to do. Amen. Get a ministry. Help somebody. Do something for your kids, sir. You know what? Clear up some idle time where you're not just telling goofy stuff on social media. Maybe actually get involved in the work of God. Go get an honest job. Do something for the Lord tonight. Verse number 18. Brother Burns, verse 18 said, thou shalt not avenge nor bear grudge against the children of thy people. I read in the New Testament where the Bible said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The Bible said in verse 19, everybody comes to verses like this and says, see, what you gonna do with that? I'll tell you what I'm gonna do with it. Verse 19, ye shall keep my statutes. Thou shalt not let thy cattle gender with a diverse kind. Thou shalt not sow thy field with mingled seed. Neither shall a garment mingled of linen and woolen come upon thee. Say, what we're going to do with that? I think he's telling us right here, be careful who and what you get mixed up with. Didn't your Bible say in James 1:27, that true religion is to not only visit the fatherless and the widows and their oppression, but to keep himself unspotted. Be careful what you get mixed up with. Keep yourself unspotted from the world. And I'm done. I'm going to go to the message and quit meddling here. But if everything I told you wasn't enough, tell me verse number 28 doesn't land you right where we live today. Every preacher in the building ought to say amen to this. We all deal with this in our churches. Verse 28, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead. This cutting fad, this messed up piercing day. And then watch the last part. Nor print any marks upon you, I'm the Lord. Listen to me. Can I just clarify some lunacy and some idiocy real quick? Immediately when you start saying stuff about this, people automatically say, well, I got tattoos. You believe I'm not saved? Nobody says that. Nobody believes that. And if that's your first argument, you are showing your heart is black as an Egyptian midnight, and there is something wrong with you. Nobody says if you got a tattoo, you can't sing for Jesus, you can't preach, and you're not saved. We got 60 folk in our choir. I bet half of them, men and women, got tattoos all over their body. I mean, some they can't even hide, cross their knuckles, on the head, down the arms. I mean, they just tatted all up. But they got them when they were lost. And they're not proud of it. They say, I wished I hadn't had it. That'd be like something. Look, it's amazing what we choose that it's okay. That's like somebody that used to be a drunk and you preach on drinking and immediately they get mad. Are you preaching on drinking? No. Somebody that was a drunk and got saved says, yes, sir, preacher, preach on liquor. I appreciate that. I want my kids to know not to go down that route. Can I just say tonight, we don't say if you got tattoos, you can't be a member of the church and you can't sing in the choir. No. What we do say is, though, if you're saved by the grace of God, you ought not be posting pictures of yourself at the tattoo parlor saying, I got John 3:16 tattooed down my arm so I can be a witness for Jesus. I violated Scripture so I could mark Scripture on myself. Well, ain't you got liberty in God? You violated Scripture to write Scripture. I'm just saying Leviticus got a whole lot of use for us tonight. Especially this chapter. And so tonight, you might have been saying, well, what in the world is this reaping corners? I'm not even a farmer. I'm not either. I ain't ever owned a farm. Close as I ever come to a farm, I'm going out to Brother Barton's today. I don't own a farm. I ain't plowed no ground. Preacher rings. I don't know nothing about that stuff. So what does this do for us tonight? Well, I'm preaching for a few minutes on giving God all four corners of your field. Giving God all four corners of your life. Normally, when you look at a field, I'm a pilot and fly, and when you're up in the air, it really gives you a different perspective on a lot of different things, on geography, on the way land is laid out. And generally, most every field that you look at from the air, or you look at a plat or anything of that nature, preacher, what you find out is most land is laid off in square or rectangular shapes. It's all squared off from the air. Most every field that you look at that is a field that is plowed or a field that's going to have some sort of harvest in it, Brother Keeter, what you find is it's all square. It's all laid out. There's a corner there. There's a corner there. There's a corner there. And there's a corner there, just like this building that we're underneath tonight. And the Lord said this. He didn't say, I just want one corner of your land. He didn't say, I just want two corners of your land. He didn't say three, and we'll call it good. But he said, I really what I want is I want all four corners of your field. Now, you sit here tonight, you say, preacher, I ain't got no field. Maybe I got a lot, or maybe I just got an acre, or maybe I got a lot of acres, or maybe tonight you're renting from somebody or living in an apartment, you ain't got no land. You say, I don't got no dirt to give God. But that ain't really true, because you are dirt tonight. The Bible said that man was made out of the dust clay of the ground, according to Job. The Lord took dust and formed it, just some old dirt, and breathed in his nostrils a breath of life, and he become a living soul. Hey, let me just tell everybody in the building, don't get too prideful about who or what you think you are, because you ain't nothing but dirt. Look down underneath your feet. That's where you come from. And if the Lord don't come back pretty soon, that's where you're headed back to. This old body, at least, what we put a lot of emphasis on, this body. I read one time somewhere that somebody said this, that if you was to weigh an average man's body weight, in dirt, about 180, 175, 180 pounds. Now, some men are above average, say amen right there. But about 175, 180 pounds. If you was to weigh that much dirt, they say that much dirt with the minerals that are in it and the sediment and things like that, about 180 pounds of dirt ain't worth but about 15 to 20 cent or so. You realize where you sit tonight? You ain't worth but about 20 cent. I mean, the shoes you got on your feet is worth more than the feet that's in them. The clothes that you got on your body is worth more than the bag of dirt that's in it. But yet there's a God in heaven that sits on high and looks down low, and he looks at these old feeble tabernacles of clay, and he looks at these old fields, and he looks at this old dirt, and he says, I died for that, and I shed blood for that, and I paid for that, and I want every corner of your life. The Lord's not interested in having just a corner on Sunday, and the Lord's not interested in just having a corner on Wednesday, and the Lord's not interested in just having a part during revival, but the Lord is interested in having a part in every area of our life tonight. Now, what do we see here? What's the lessons we can learn from this? What do we see in giving God all four corners of your field or of your life tonight? Well, I want to show you just several things real quick, and we'll be done. Number one, the first thing we see in this is we see the giving of God. The giving of God. We see that God is a giver. Aren't you glad that he is tonight? Watch something in the text. The Bible says this in the text, chapter 19, verse 9. And when ye reap the harvest of whose land? Your land. Thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of whose harvest? Or whose field? Thy field. Neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of whose harvest? Thy harvest. Verse 10. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard. Neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Thou shalt eat the poor and stranger. I'm the Lord your God. Here in the text, the Lord keeps saying, Brother Burns, it's your field. It's your vineyard. It's thy field. It's thy vineyard. But can I say, listen to me, it really wasn't theirs. It was given to them. Would you hold your place here in Leviticus with me and go with me to Deuteronomy real quick, just real quick to the right, to the book of Deuteronomy, and look at chapter 6 with me. Deuteronomy chapter 6, and watch this. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 10. Watch the giving of God. Well, I can't believe that God would expect me to give him four corners out of my field. I mean, I only got one field. I mean, Lord could cut me some slack. He wants all four corners out of my field. That's unreasonable. Not when you think about it like this. Well, it's unreasonable that God would want to invade my life and tell me how to spend my money, how to think with my mind, what to put on my body, what to put on my ears, where to go to church, who are to marry, who are to hang out with. Every corner of my life, that's unreasonable. Well, yeah, it sounds unreasonable until you realize who gave it to you. Look at chapter 6, verse 10 of Deuteronomy. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He said it would be a possibility that a person could start begrudging what God wanted out of their field. And the reason they would begrudge it is because they had forgot who gave it to them in the first place. They didn't earn this field. They didn't work for this field. But when they was in bondage down yonder in Egypt, there was a God that was already looking way up ahead of them and was saying, I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to give you that, and I'm going to give you that vineyard, and I'm going to give you that field. And he said, don't get to the place where you start bucking up on God and sticking your fingers in your proverbial suspender strap and acting like I got myself out of Egypt and I brought myself here. No, sir. It was the good grace of God that brought you there. It was God that knocked down Jericho walls in front of you. It was God that parted the Jordan River in front of you. It was God that run out mightier and stronger kingdoms. I mean, there's giants down there in that land, and there ain't no way you could have knocked out them giants. It was God that gave it to you. Can I say tonight, everything we have, every good and every perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of a turning. Everything we got, it's a gift of God tonight. God's given it to us. You say, preacher, I've worked hard for everything I got. Preacher, I'm telling you, I've earned it. You might have, but who gave you the breath in your body to earn it? Who gave you the strength in your body to get it? The Bible said this. The Bible said it is the Lord that giveth thee strength to get wealth tonight. It's God that gave it to you. It's God that blessed you with it. And if God asked you for a little part of your field, if God asked you for a little slice of your field, we all ought to hit the deck tonight, bow our unworthy head, raise our unworthy hands, and say, God, forgive me for being so stingy. When I look around and I see all the giving of God in my life, when I look around and see how God's blessed me, He ain't just saved me, but He called me, and He gave me a place to worship, and He gave me a book to read, and He gave me a wife to love, and He gave me children to raise, and He gave me a dollar or two in my pocket, and clothes on my back, and shoes on my feet. I look up and say, God sure is a good God. God has given so much more than I could ever repay Him back for tonight. We see the giving of God. And isn't this something? The Lord keeps saying this, Preacher Raines. I like the Lord. The Lord's a character tonight. There really is. You know the Lord's got a sense of humor. You say, I don't think He does. You ain't looked in the mirror lately. Sister, you don't think God's got a sense of humor? Turn and look to the fella He gave you to live with. Joke's on you, baby. God's got a real sense of humor. Every morning my wife has to wake up and roll over and look at what God give her. Says, ha, 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 how you like that? Amen. But watch what the Lord says. Watch what he says at the end of verse 10 after he gives them these commandments about leaving the four corners, not getting all the grapes. Watch the last few words of verse 10. The last few words, last six words here. I am the Lord your God. Why do I have to leave this corners of my field? Why am I having to leave some of the best of my grapes? Because I'm God and I said so. But Lord, why? Because I'm the Lord your God. Can I just say this? Please don't miss this tonight. Listen to me. Because we live in an age, you're hearing this more and more, young people. Listen to me. Don't get sucked up into this garbage today. I'm all for having legitimate arguments and reasoning. But this is still a walk of faith at the end. And we're living in a day to where they're telling you this. Well, if you can't give me a verse of Scripture and you can't reason it to me, I ain't. Let me tell you, there's certain parts of the Christian life you don't have to have a reason for. You walk by faith and not by... I don't know, we was talking about how we was kind of raised sort of the same way, even though, preacher, you're 20 years my senior, and I respect you very highly as an elder above me in the Lord, always have and I always will. But, preacher, in that day when you were a younger man and when I was first coming up under my pastor when I was 16, 17, 18, 19, 20 years old and such as that, there'd be stuff he'd preach, and when he'd preach it and give me Bible for it, or he'd preach it and show me biblical principle, brother, we went and done it. Hey, all y'all want to look up to all these old preachers? All y'all want to look up to all these old saints of God like Sister Whittemore just got up here and testified? All of y'all like their testimony and what they got? You know how they got it? Because they walked with God and they didn't just all the time buck up what they heard preached and what they got in the Word of God. They just said, if it's preached and it's out of the book and there's Bible principle for it, I believe it and I'm going to do it. You don't always have to have a reason for everything, sis. Hey, bro, you ain't always got to have a reason for everything. Some things, hey, I'm the Lord. I ain't got time to go off into another message. But it's your fault because you said something about leprosy. I just preached a message out of Leviticus 13, 14 on lessons from leprosy here recently. And Brother Barton, ain't it wild that leper thing over there, it says this over and over and over and over and over and over again. It said when you bring the leper before the Lord and he thinks he's got something wrong with him, this is what it says. Sometimes it'll be a greenish spot or a reddish spot or a whitish spot. It ain't green. It ain't red. It ain't white. But it looks dangerous. It just that looks like that could turn into something dangerous for all of us. So who makes the call on whether it's acceptable or not? The priest that's over the people that God has given him. Let's shut that up and keep that away from us for a little while till we can see what that's going to do. Y'all, we're just throwing the doors open today in church and in our families, and we're just letting anything in. And the reason why is because, well, it ain't, preacher, you can't tell me that's red. Preacher, you can't tell me that's green. I mean, it's got some good lyrics to it. I mean, them people say they know God. I mean, you can't show me a verse of Scripture necessarily on. I'm telling you, though, it looks greenish. It looks reddish. So, you know, maybe for caution's sake, maybe what we ought to do, because he's the Lord and trying to look out for us, maybe what we ought to do is lock some of this stuff up for a few years and let's wait and see what the fruit of it is. Anyway, that's another message and I ain't got time to preach that one tonight. What do we see in giving God all four corners of your life? God's gave you something. You say, what's he gave me? You're sitting in it. You're sitting in a tabernacle God gave you and blessings all around that. We not only see the giving of God, I got to hurry, let me just throw these out to get to the end. We see the goodness of God. We don't just see the giving of God, we see God's goodness in this. God's good. You say, how do you, some Israelite might say, I just feel like God ain't real good. I mean, he wants that corner, he wants that corner, he wants that corner, he wants that corner. Yeah, but I see the goodness of God all over this. You say, how do you figure that? Because Brother Ellis, God could have said, you get the corners.
I want the whole middle of the field where the meat of the field is. You take the corners. Why? Because I'm the Lord. Didn't I make you? Didn't I get you out of Egypt? Didn't I redeem you? Okay, because of all that, you get the corners. I get the big part. And I'm telling you, we serve a good God. Brother Barton, we serve such a good God that he says, you know what? I'll just take a little bit. And I'm just going to give you a whole bunch. You say, where do we see that in our life? My goodness, man. We got people today just absolutely choking on, oh, God, the preacher preached on tithing. Yeah. I'd say we see the goodness of God in tithing. You say, how do we see the goodness of God in tithing? Because the God of heaven said, you, sir, can have 90%. I'm the King of glory, the God of heaven. And tell you what, you keep 90, just throw me 10. That's awesome, y'all. We serve the King of glory. We serve the King of glory. That tells us on the first day of the week, let a man lay in store. And on the first day of the week, Jesus got up. And on the first day of the week, the early church gathered to worship. And on the first day of the week, they gathered to break bread. That's the day that we worship. You say, oh, that's Baal sun god worship. Just because they called it Sunday, don't negate the fact that is the first day of the week. We don't worship on Saturday. That's a sign gift to Israel. We worship on Sunday. I don't like to call it Sunday. Don't. Call it first day of the week if you want to. I don't care. But that's what day it is. But you know what God could have said? He could have said this. I'm giving you one day to work your job, earn your living, take care of your family, try and squeeze in a little bit of fun if you want to. One day. And all the rest of them 6 days, y'all better be at my house with my people worshiping and hearing preaching every day. All day, every day. 6 days. But he didn't do that. You say, well, what about midweek? We'll get to that in a minute. That's a matter of the heart. We're going to get to that in a minute. We're going to get to that. You say, well, what about the rest? I say God's a real good God. I say, God, he gives us all things richly to enjoy. Now I'm telling you, God is so good that he blesses and he lavishes and he blesses and he lavishes. And all he says is, just give me some corners. Just give me the corners. And yet God just asks for the corners and we buck up and we won't go to altar and we get ticked off and walk out the door mad and act like God and the preacher is expecting something unreasonable out of us. I'd say God has been good to us. He's given, and he's given, and he's given. And he didn't ask for the main bulk of the field. He didn't ask for the whole vineyard. He just said, I got to. But why? Because I'm the Lord, and I got a plan. Why does God want us to walk in his way and in his will and give God just these corners of our life? Listen to me, because there's something coming. I'm getting there. There's something coming you don't see. There's something coming you don't realize. But God in his omnipotence and God in his sovereign wisdom is looking down the road of time and he's saying, hey, Moses, yes, sir, Lord, write down, give me the four corners and don't get all them grapes. Okay, Lord, they ain't going to understand that. Why should we do it? Because I'm the Lord. They don't understand. Just tell them it's for poor people and strangers, and they're not going to know nothing about that in Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, or Deuteronomy, or Joshua, or Judges, but yep, there's something coming up there. Tell them to write that down. What's the point of that, Lord? Because I want somebody to obey me, and if they'll obey me, it's going to help somebody else. You think it's just because God's trying to be some ogre. No, God's trying to use your life to be help somebody. You keep being stingy and tightening up. No, God wants to use your life to help somebody. We see the giving of God. We see the goodness of God. What else do we see in this text? We see gratitude for God. Gratitude for God. Preacher Raines, I thought to myself this. In these two verses, and in many other verses, Preacher Barton, the Bible never does tell us, listen to me now, please don't miss this. The Bible don't tell us, Preacher Keeter, how big the corners should be. Did you notice that? Y'all watch this. That's a corner. But that's a corner too. The Bible never does put a specific size on the corner. And I thought to myself, Brother Jonathan, why? Listen to me. If you miss everything else, don't miss this. Here's why God didn't put a specific on it. Because the size of your corner reveals the love and gratitude for God in your heart. God leaves it up to the conscience of the man. And if a man is a tightwad, and a man is a miser, and a man wants to live his life for himself, and he don't want God to hardly have nothing, he says, all right, God, there's your corner. You happy? I mean, I'm doing what you said, strict letter of the law. You said corner, strict letter of the law. I'm giving you four corners, but they're only this big. But if there was somebody that realized, God sure has been good to me. Oh, and God has given me so much more than I deserve. You know what? God, I'm going to give you some more. God, I ain't just going to cut you off a little slice. I want you to have a big slice. See, it's like this. All right, God. First day of the week. Worshiping on Sunday. Preacher will browbeat me and so will my wife if I ain't there. You're getting Sunday morning. That's all you're getting. But Lord, you've been real good to me. And I want to hear some more about you and I want to work. So Lord, I'll come back Sunday night. Lord, you know what? It'll be a real sacrifice to get off work and it's tough sometimes to get the kids there. But Lord, you've been so good to me. Amen. I want you to know I'll come back Wednesday night. God, you've been so good to me. You give me so much. They haven't meeting up there at the Western North Carolina camp meeting Monday to Friday. And I'm going to do my dead level best. So. All right, God, they said tithe. There you go, 10%. That's all you're getting. But Lord, you've been so good to me. And the preacher said there's a missionary over there that needs some help. And our church tries to help people get the gospel to places in the regions beyond. So you know what, Lord? Yeah, I know that's what I'm supposed to give, strictly by the letter of the law, but God, I'm going to throw some missions in there because you've been so good to me. I wonder what the size of your corners reveal about the condition of your heart tonight.
Amen.
All right. I'll dress right because they got the standard at church, so that's what I'm going to do. But soon as I take off for vacation, the clothes is coming off too. But Lord, you're so good, and you don't just want a corner of my life while I'm at church. You know what? I want the world to know I'm a Christian out here at. And it may be a little inconvenient. They may look at me a little weird, but that's all right. We could keep going on with this. Do you want more illustration and more illustration and more illustration? I don't feel like I have to belabor this point any longer. I'm just curious, what does the size of your corner reveal about the gratitude in your heart towards the Lord? You got areas of your life that God said, hey, how about a little more of that corner right there? How about a little more service out of that right there? I'm already doing something. I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. I'm not trying to promote anyone. I don't know hardly none of y'all here for the most part, other than by face, some of you. Some of you I know by name, some of you just by face. I'm not nothing like that. But today, I was blessed this afternoon, didn't even really plan on it. My wife and I went out to eat, and Brother Barton texted me, went over and we hung out, Brother Barton. I'll be honest with you, I'm wore out looking at all everything God's got him doing. I was tired when I left. I'm like, dear God, bless his heart. You know what I left there thinking? I left there thinking it ain't just him. There's other people here tonight too. But I left there thinking this. That's a man who started out giving God. But I'll tell you this. If the heart's right, don't miss this. When you start giving God this, you turn around and look, and all of a sudden God's blessed so much out there. Wonder what God will start doing if I go. Good gracious. He done blessed a whole bunch. What? And what you end up finding is the more of the corner you cut off and give God, the more He blesses the rest of your field, and the more He blesses the rest of your life, and the more He starts working here and working there and working yonder. You know why maybe you don't got some of them stories that some of them old saints of God got about God providing and God doing? Because they just kept giving God and giving God and giving God, and God just turned around and started giving them, giving them, giving them. See, I don't know if y'all noticed this tonight. I don't know if y'all noticed this. But a lot of that stuff I read at the beginning of the message, and I preached on all that stuff coming down through here that's now in the New Testament. Did you realize a lot of that ain't in the Ten Commandments? You know what the Ten Commandments are for God's people? The Ten Commandments was this. But if somebody really loved the Lord, they'd get on over to Leviticus 19. They'd say, there's more than just 10. I want to do a little bit more for the Lord because I sure do love Him. I'm done. What do we see in giving God all four corners of your field? We see the giving of God, the goodness of God, gratitude for God. And lastly, I'm done. We see the grace of God. Say, preacher, I don't see no grace in this. Where's the grace of God in verses 9 and 10 of Leviticus 19? Where do we find God's grace? Well, you don't necessarily find it there. You find it in when He tells them in verse 10, leave them for the poor and stranger. I'm the Lord your God. Where do we see God's grace in giving God all four corners of your field? Long time later, there's an old boy that run off down from Bethlehem, Judah, and went to Moab and got in a mess. Got himself killed, got his two boys killed, left his wife a widow, and left one of his sons a widow and a half-breed daughter-in-law named Ruth the Moabitess. And they come walking back up to Bethlehem, Judah, and one's poor and one's a stranger. And they come walking back up and they're hungry. And they ain't got nothing. And you know what they're hoping for, preacher brains? You know what they're hoping for? They're hoping maybe somebody. Maybe somebody has been reading that book. And maybe there'll be somebody that loves the Lord enough that He's actually done what God has asked them to do. Imagine that. God's people doing what God asked them to do. And all of a sudden, Ruth, her hap, lights in a field of a man named Boaz. And when she comes in, old Boaz says, hey, y'all leave plenty in the corners. And as a matter of fact, let's do something better than that. Let's throw handfuls on purpose. I mean, don't just leave a few. Grab a whole bunch and throw a whole bunch down. Leave the corners in a big way. So that, and brother, when she grabs all that, read it. It's in Ruth 2. When she comes home, Naomi's mind is blown. Naomi says, where did you reap today, and whose eyes did you find grace in? You must have stole it. She said, no, but there's a good man up there that loves God and been reading the book, and he's just throwing piles of it out. He's leaving big corners, and look what God has done. And you say, so what? Because of that man simply following those two verses of Scripture, it got Ruth into the family of Jesus Christ. Matthew 1, Ruth gets in the big family. Why? Because one guy follows the word of God to the point that Brother Wilmore, somebody else got God's grace on him. And maybe tonight if we'll all hit an altar and say, God, here's some more corners out of my life. Here's some more out of my life. I ain't going to keep it back from you. You can have all four corners and a big piece. Maybe God will use your life. Maybe some old stranger lost without God, alien from the covenant of promise, having no home without God in the world. Maybe they'll walk across your field and you'll get an opportunity to show them how good God is and the grace of God. And maybe your field and your testimony will get some lost heathen into the family of God. Ain't that what happened to us? You know why I'm saved? Say the grace of God. It is the grace of God, but it was the grace of God showed up in people's lives, brother. Because somebody had give God a whole bunch of their field. And they started preaching and singing and living for God, and I seen that, and God used them to speak to this old sinner's heart. Maybe if you'll just quit slicing off bitty pieces of your life, just give God a big piece.
Amen.
All four corners. And maybe even throw some handfuls on purpose. There ain't no telling what the grace of God could do through your life and somebody else's. Brother, would you help us on the piano up here? I wonder tonight if you wouldn't be willing on the last night of meeting to say, God, here's all four corners.
Amen.
I ain't holding nary a corner back from you. You can have all four. And Lord, I don't want to just cut off little slices. Maybe tonight you've already given God all four corners, but there's some extra that God is asking out of your life. Trust me, God is not asking for extra for himself. God is asking for a little more of the corner so that he can show his grace in someone else's life. It's to help others. I thought about Sunday. It's going to be 40 years. And some old boy that used to work for the power company, Brother Raines, said, God, here's my corner. And then just gave God a little more corner, a little more corner, a little more corner. And what's happened? A lot of folk been helped by it. Does God got your corners tonight? Let's all stand. Preacher Raines, it's yours. Father, it's been a joy to be here at the Western North Carolina camp meeting.